back here. You're listening to On the Air on WWGH 107.1. And while the music's still playing, because we can't talk to Scott while the music's playing, I wanted to tell you tomorrow at this time, we'll have Dr. Marilyn Coleman on with me. She's been on two or three times. She's a wizard as far as gardening goes. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow at this time. I hope you'll tune in, because she really is a smart cookie when it comes to the stuff. I think she's going to be talking about more along the lines of flowers tomorrow as opposed to vegetables. But hey, Scott, are you there?
I'm here. Coming in.
All right. We're going to have Dr. Feynman will be on after Scott and I get off of here. And Dr.
Feynman. You know, I try to listen to that usually. And I want to talk.
Sure.
I want to talk about. Oh, I'm echoing again. I want to talk about that here just in a second, but you know, I was just thinking during the break about why that interview might have sounded funny earlier on, and you know, it's all working off one computer there, and we've got a remote access program, we've got an automation program, and when I'm coming from home, we've got a Skype program running. We have got a recorder running to record the show. And if anybody was transferring files during that time, that obviously would slow down the bandwidth. I wonder if that's what happened.
Yeah, you're a lot smarter about that stuff than I am.
Well, I was just looking when I logged in there during the break, and I saw that more than one person was logged in. And I thought, I wonder if somebody was transferring files this morning. Now, I'm not saying that that's the reason, but if we happen to have a slower than average internet connection, which I know does happen from time to time, it was happening at the tower a few weeks ago, a few Wednesdays ago, that caused some shows not to be on the air. If we're running all those programs at the same time and somebody's transferring files, that could slow you down.
It's kind of scary how dependent we are on computers anymore. Elon Musk is going to make us even more dependent on them, apparently.
Well, I guess I would have to know if anybody heard Jim Renacci at 8 o'clock this morning and how he sounded.
Okay.
Or how the preacher sounded. Was the whole interview like that? Or because you didn't listen very long, did
you? No, I kind of gave up because I figured maybe it was the reason I was in my car and maybe my car radio wasn't picking stuff up. But hey, if you want to tell us, please give us a call at 740-383-9944.
Well, I want somebody to let me know, because the Renacci interview was very interesting.
Cool.
This morning. I think it's the first interview that he's given since not winning the Republican nomination for governor last week. And I found that fascinating. And I also found the pastor fascinating. So I hope people got bits and pieces of that.
Well, it's kind of interesting that he would call in so close after getting beaten.
I'm here, Glenn.
I know I didn't want to talk about when I lost when I was running for state senator. I really didn't want to talk about it for a couple of 3 weeks.
I found him very interesting this morning. You know, I don't want to say you badger these people, but I can be. The nice word is persistent.
That's what
I want chiseled on my tombstone. But the other word is pushy. And I've never found pushy to be a bad adjective, but I do think that, you know, I'm pushy when it comes to that. Now, in real life, if it comes to getting a table or getting good service or something like that, I'm very easygoing.
Or getting free breakfast.
Huh?
Or getting free breakfast. You are a little pushy about that.
I don't push that at all. but if it's an interview and if it's somebody I want to talk to, see, that's curiosity and nosiness.
Hey, I've got a phone call. Let's go and hear what they have to say.
Ahead.
All right. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi. I heard the Renacci interview just fine, but the pastor interview, it was so broken up, couldn't even understand what he was saying.
That's what I thought, too. Scott, are you hearing that?
I do. What'd you think of Renacci?
Oh, I liked the guy myself.
Yeah, the second interview was kind of rough. We ought to get that minister back on because
I was very interested in hearing what he had to say about Ukraine and everything that's going on.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how the replay sounds. I know it was taped. I don't know. It might have been the relay. See, I don't know if it was the relay or if it was on my end. It might have been the relay.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see if we can't get him back or get replay it. All right?
All right.
Thanks for calling
in.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's good to know, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if the relay was dropping out, which would cause it to sound bad, or if it was dropping out on my end, which I don't know how that could happen because I never you wouldn't be hearing me now if there was a bad connection.
Yeah. Now, it's kind of symptomatic, though. I mean, you were saying you're getting a little feedback in your headphones. Maybe there is a little problem with the internet right now.
I think the feedback is the connection's a little too strong.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
because if you heard Renacy, that would have been a strong connection. And if you're hearing me now, the last 2 hours, that would be a strong connection. So something would have happened in just that 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I never changed connections.
Yeah, it
wasn't
from
you. Something had to have been going on.
Yeah. Well, and he might have been in a car or might have been using a mobile phone that he just wasn't in an area that it was being picked up very well.
We shall find out.
I guess. All right. All right.
Just get this bagel out of my throat, I'd be fine.
You still got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I have to lay down and take a nap or something.
Well, I always do that. If I ever have any problems, I just lay down and take a nap. Now, I take a 33-minute nap, and the reason why I take 33 minutes is it takes me 3 minutes to get to sleep. So,
well, here's what I wanted to bring up before it leaves my brain,
sure.
Dr. Feynman.
Sure.
Because last week, I think you guys eventually did get on. I know it got taped and got online.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks ago, we were talking about at the end of the show, and I thought it was a fascinating conversation, about charismatic transformational politicians. And I said that the ones that I have read about, studied about, and seen in my life who could actually motivate people to do things were Reagan, Trump, John Kennedy, and I forget the other one I said. It might have been Obama. I think it was Obama. Yeah. So those were the four, and I heard Dr. Feynman come on, and I didn't hear the – I was in the car, I think. So I didn't hear if he agreed with Obama and Reagan. I heard him knocking Reagan, a matter of fact. And I just totally have to disagree. You can disagree with Reagan's policies all you want. The man won 49 states in 1984. There was something people liked about him.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. My household had troubles with him and still does. But, there are a lot of people that loved him. So
49 states.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever won that much of an electoral college vote other than him. Mondale won his home state of Minnesota, and that was it.
That's pretty bad.
You can't – and that's Reagan, a Republican, winning California and New York. That don't happen anymore.
Well, you know, the thing I'm wondering, what is charisma?
It was all different. John Kennedy's was young, and it was hopeful.
Yeah.
We're going to put a man on the moon.
Yep.
Ask not what you can do for your country, or not what would you your country can do for you, what you can do for your country.
Right.
Reagan made you feel good. After Watergate, after Vietnam, after a resignation of a president, after Jimmy Carter and the malaise, Reagan came in and he Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall, and he was an actor, and he understood how to talk to reporters and how to look good, and he got that. And
you know, the one thing I didn't like about that speech, it sounded contrived to me. It just didn't sound honest. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Well,
it
you know sounded, what I've heard, and I've talked to that? Some people who knew Reagan, and yeah. I can't say one way or another. But apparently he put that, or that line was in his speech. I don't know if he put it in or how that all came to be. But when the speech went to the UN or to his advisors, they said, take that out. That don't do that. That's going to cause a lot of problems. Because the Cold War was not over then. People don't yeah. forget, the Cold War did not end until George H.W. Bush was in office. Mm-hmm. So people told him to take it out. And apparently he insisted on keeping it in. And now it's one of those iconic moments yeah. that you see on all highlight reels.
That's what you remember from that speech. The rest of the speech was kind of boring. But
yeah,
that,
yeah,
they're
at the Brandenburg Gate. So yeah. that was Reagan's charisma. Now, Obama's charisma was getting young people to register to vote for the first time. And kind of like that John Kennedy hopefulness, we can do that, we can be involved. I think that was Obama's hopefulness. But and I know people don't want to give it to Trump because they don't like his policies and they feel he's got a little bit of a lack of character. But that's not my place to judge. The man inspired parades.
He still inspires what? Maybe 43% of the population.
Yeah, but the people who love him, love him.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Vance, we can now say this. J.D. Vance was polling third yep. in that Senate race. Trump came to Delaware, endorsed him, and 10 days later, he won with 10%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what? There are still people with Trump signs in their yards, flags, hats, bumper stickers. it's inspirational for those people.
I drive by those and I wonder why they're still out there. But then today, first time I've seen this, today I drove by a house that has his Biden flag back up. Now, I have a Biden flag, but I once the election was over, I took it down. I didn't want to offend my Trump neighbors,
Well, I didn't do it on purpose, but I picked two Democrats and two Republicans there, Trump and Reagan and Obama and Kennedy, but they just seemed to have a little, people would follow them anywhere. Well, it wasn't so much what they did that impacted the public perception. It was what they did made public perception,
mm-hmm.
and that's a rarity.
I'm going to try to while we're talking, I'm going to try and look up what the definition of the word what's the word we're looking at?
Charismatic.
Charismatic. Yeah, if I can spell it. but anyway, I'm going to try to look that up and see if there's because we really haven't defined what charisma is, because all four of those, you basically, well, with the exception of two of them, you basically said different things about those people.
Well, the problem is, here's what people want to do. People want to go back and say, well, where do you rank on the greatest presidents of all time? What did you get done? Were your policies good? Were you a good person? Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what was your ability to connect with your audience. And those four men in the 20th century, it's hard to do the 19th century because no television, no yeah. radio, different
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
But these guys, for whatever reason, had a charisma that appealed to America in those times that got them elected. We wouldn't even be talking about them if they weren't president.
Well, here's what, and my wife calls it the Google. Here's what the Google says charisma is. Compelling attractiveness or charm that can inspire devotion in others. That
well,
pretty much
and you know what?
It.
I think all those guys had it for the groups that they, a lot of people hated Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kennedy only won. I mean, one state he beat Nixon by, one or two.
Well, we don't even remember how many people had a Catholic, anti-Catholic bias. They hated him. Well, there were people that hated him because he was Catholic.
Well, and he was down in Texas because thought he was not very well liked down there and needed to get reelected.
Right.
You know, and Obama certainly had his critics. We got a Tea Party movement. We got Sarah Palin. We got gridlock in Washington from Obama. I mean, it was he had his fans, but he had a very divisive group as well. And Reagan, there are people who say that Reagan didn't care about AIDS, didn't care about poor people. It was a show business presidency, couldn't get along with his own kids. That's true. And people will, we've heard the Trump knocks because it's current time. But you know what? For the people who followed them, they would have followed them to the ends of the earth. And that's the charisma.
Well, that's one of the things I've learned, especially after running for political office a couple of times. Nobody is as good as their publicist says they are. We all have our faults. You don't win or lose depending on your faults. You win or lose by your charisma and by the things that people like about you. It would have been nice if I could have found in a bottle some charisma, but apparently I don't have it.
You know what charisma is, in my opinion? I'll tell you something. I watched a show the other day on Jimmy Carter. You know, this is something I have time to do now.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Carter, in this special, I mean, he came off very good, but everybody in the special, and these were all people who were favorable of him, said he did not understand Washington. He didn't understand how to schmooze.
Yeah.
He didn't understand how to get reelected. He didn't understand how to play the game, and because of that, he will be a lower-ranked president. And he is. He's in the mid somewhere.
But I think
a one-term president.
I think his favorability numbers continue to go up.
I think living a long time and the stuff he's done out of office helped that.
Yep, I agree.
So, but as a president, not a very, obviously not popular. He lost in a landslide trying to get reelected.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Carter did things to play the game. You know, he was in Georgia, and he ran for governor, being I don't want to say he was a strict segregationist, but he said that to get elected. Now, his first speech after getting elected, he denounced segregation.
Jimmy Carter
said, he said, I either had to decide, was I going to be governor, or was I going to be an anti-segregationist? Because in Georgia, you couldn't do both.
Interesting. I didn't know that Jimmy Carter said things like that.
Yeah, but he wasn't a segregationist.
Yeah.
He just didn't broach that issue until he won.
I was told when I was running for office, don't bring up abortion because you want to appeal to those people. Well, I did. But
that's the conundrum. Is that right? Because then you don't get elected. I mean, you have what you stand on, but then you don't get to elect the policies that deal with that.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying lie, but I'm not saying don't go out of your way to be if you know it's going to – here's what I don't understand. If you know an issue like that or gun rights is going to cost you the election – and you know you're not willing to be quiet about it, why do you waste the time to run?
Well, you know, and I've thought about that several times because I knew the chance of me winning were pretty slim because this district is very red and has been for a while. And I knew that my position on guns and my position on abortion would not appeal to many of the people. But the reason why I ran, it was not to get elected. The reason I ran is to have a voice and to say what I believed. And I'm very thankful to all the people that listened. I think I got done what I hoped I would get done.
I'll tell you something interesting. This governor race we're going to have here in the fall.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
Renacy being on this morning. Renacy called Mike DeWine, critiqued how he handled the COVID, ran against him, didn't want him to be governor again, said he was corrupt, pay to play, all these horrible things, and got 28% of the vote against a sitting governor in a Republican primary. Now this morning, the primary's over, Renacy has talked to DeWine and says if DeWine comes around on his issues by the fall, he will vote for him. And also said he told DeWine he would do everything to get him reelected. Now, why? Because he doesn't want Nan Whaley to be elected. So, see, there it is again.
That's one of the things I don't understand about our current politics. My mother and father were devout Republicans, but they would have voted for a Democrat if they believed that they had a better stance on what meant something to them. Nowadays, and I haven't heard the Democratic side of this, but I've heard an awful lot of Republicans say bad things about people in their own party, but say, I will still vote for them as opposed to running for that or voting for that Democrat. In other words, they don't care where the stance of the person is. All they care about is the D and the R, and it just drives me nuts.
This is just my take, and a lot of people won't like this. This is not really even an opinion. This is more of an analyzation of the state I live in. The Democrats are so confident until Election Day on the local level, the state level, even with national candidates. They are so confident right until Election Day. They will tell you they did it right. They got it right this time. You know, it's going to be that Nan Whaley being a woman doesn't matter, that she's not too liberal, that things don't matter. Well, then the next day they lose every election and they don't want to talk to you. And, you know, I think to myself, now, didn't we try to tell you about this going in to that election? I don't understand why that has been repeated in Ohio since about 2015.
I think, and I know my Republican friends will hate this, but I think the Democrats think of themselves as having higher standards. And that's kind of snooty, but I think they really believe in this. You've got to tell the truth all the time, and I think that gets us in trouble.
Let me ask you this.
I know
let
it got me in trouble.
In the state of Ohio, we know what the match is going to be now. It's going to be DeWine and it's going to be Nan Whaley. DeWine is an injured governor within his own party. He only got 48% in the primary. If Nan Whaley was a more centered male Republican or Democrat, would the Democrat beat DeWine?
Well, I don't know, but we have a caller that just called in. Let's see what they think. Hang on. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, do you really think the Cold War with Russia is over?
Oh, I don't. How about you, Scott?
As far as, like, nuclear weapon threats against each other, I think that is. Yeah, I don't think we are. I think if Kennedy had stayed...
Well, that's part of the reason why they want to go into Ukraine is to keep from us having missiles over there.
Yeah, and Putin keeps telling us that it's still on the table. I don't know. That's why I don't think it's quite over yet.
Yeah, but
you know,
we don't know...
There
was a shot fired in the Cold War from the 1950s. To the 1990s, and I don't foresee it happening now. I think if they were going to do it, they would have done it.
Well, maybe so.
No, I don't.
I think the caller and I agree.
I've also been told that they don't have a nuclear weapon that could reach us.
I don't think that's true, but...
You might, you know, I'm just like Glenn, you know. We don't know everything they have, you know, in this these treaties, you know, when we, you know, do arms reductions and stuff like that, you know, are you really relying on them to do the right thing?
Yeah, rely on Putin.
Let me put it this way. I don't think Putin is as crazy as Joseph Stalin or Nikita Khrushchev.
I think he's close. I think he's real close.
Joseph Stalin, I can't. No.
Well, it just depends on who gets into office in any different country is what's going to happen. Remember just a guy on TV, on the news, and I think he's writing a book or something, but he was on Trump's staff, and, he talked to military leaders, and he was worried that at the end of his term that he would, use the military.
Right, but here's the thing.
That was Esper.
Let's go back to this, and it still remains the case. Who is the only country in the history of life that has ever used a nuclear bomb on another country?
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we are. So I don't know why we're so suspect of Russia. My guess is that, and by the way, that nuke that we dumped on Japan was at a time when we weren't having the greatest relationship with Stalin. We were still at war, but it wasn't the greatest relationship at that point. And he still didn't fire, and he knew that we've used it. When they put the bombs down in Cuba, when Khrushchev put them down in Cuba, he never fired them. So I think it's used as a threat, and I think nobody wants to blow up the world.
I think that's what the Cold War was all about. A threat. Yeah.
I think there's a threat, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I hope not.
I mean, we're threatened all the time. Putin says, you try to stop us, we're gonna nuke you.
Yeah, but what does that mean? I mean, are we silly enough to send ground troops in? I mean, are we not going to use chemical weapons and try to blow up his arsenal first? I'm not sure what that means if we try to stop him. We've already said we're not going into Ukraine.
I don't want to get to that point to where we have to figure out what's going to stop him.
No, I just don't think the Cold War's over, especially with Russia and with the United States. I mean, what we have just got out of office is the closest thing that's ever been to Hitler, and how this country still reviles that man. There's no telling what we're going to do.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Now, by saying that, and everybody's got the right to their own opinion, but people right now are offended. And that's okay, but see, that's where our politics is strange to me. I don't understand why we are so... Well, let me ask you. If Nan Whaley was a man, do you think she would have a better shot at beating DeWine, who's clearly injured within his own party?
I don't think so.
I do, but...
Now, see, you finally answered.
I think her being a woman and, what her city's been through, I think that's playing in good for her right now.
At this time.
I think maybe 10 years ago, if she was a man, it would have been different. But, it's coming to a woman's going to get elected. And, it's getting closer and closer all the time. A woman's going to make it. And I think it's playing in Guvitz Nan Whaley right now, her being a woman.
I don't know. She might win. I'm not saying she can't. I would have to see some polls. But after interviewing Renacci this morning, 8 days after the election, he's coming home to roost with that 28% of the vote. Mr. DeWine, Governor DeWine, whatever you need, I'm there for you.
Yeah, he's going to support Governor DeWine.
Yeah.
When he said there's no way he could,
Right, and that's it. And that's, if DeWine can get that part of the Republican Party back, he will win.
And I think DeWine has been kind of, he has not totally alienated himself to the Republicans, like other people have. But I think it'll forgive and forget will be the byword.
Our mayor is running for state treasurer. The ticket is very important to him. Is the Democratic ticket strong? Tim Ryan, Nan Whaley, Scott Scherzer? Is that a strong state ticket?
Well, I think Tim Ryan right now is just a tiny bit ahead in the polls. So.
But I'll tell you what. Like I said, Trump endorsed J.D. Vance, and he went from third to first place with a 10% win in 10 days.
Yeah, but that's within the Republican Party, and he means something to the Republican Party.
Did you see Republican turnout compared to Democrat turnout?
Yeah.
Over a million Republicans turned out in the primary, 510,000 Democrats.
Wow.
Yeah. The actual numbers, by the way, J.D. Vance got 32% of the Republican vote, but it was almost 341,000. Tim Ryan won with 70% of the Democratic vote, 355,000.
Yeah, it's obvious to me that the Democrats never turn out in droves, at least not usually.
Well, it's hard to in Ohio. This is such a Republican, area.
So are you telling me that if Ryan gets 70% of the Democratic vote again, which is about 355,000 people, that Vance can't pick up 16,000 more votes from Mandel or Dolan who aren't going to be on the ticket to win that election?
Oh, it's possible, yeah. I hope he doesn't, but it's possible.
I think,
by the way, that's the same thing with DeWine. DeWine won with 48%, but that was 514,000 votes. Nan Whaley won with 65%, 326,000.
I think one of the things that'll have to be done if the Democratic Party wants to go ahead, I think they can. There are more Democrats than people give credit to. All you have to do is look at Georgia, but you need somebody like Abrams who will get out there and really work hard to get out the vote. And I don't think in Ohio there is anybody like that.
Well, I think in this next election. Especially if the Supreme Court does away with Roe versus Wade.
That could change things.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that's going to get out there and vote on the Democratic bandwagon.
I think so, too.
Let me say this.
Because there's more people that are for choice rather than against it.
Yeah, it's about 70%.
Yes.
Let me say this. That's an interesting subject. Let me say this. DeWine, vote for vote. DeWine, Renacci, and Blystone all got more votes than Nan Whaley. If it was Blystone versus Nan Whaley, Blystone got more votes than she did in the primary last week.
I don't think there was much. That was a contested race. I don't think Whaley's opponent, anybody was even slightly afraid that person was going to take the...
Right,
so people didn't vote.
They
just didn't go out and vote.
So that's to say that Democrats just didn't vote last week?
Yeah, and I'm afraid that's a bad trait of Democratic voters.
Well, let me tell you about Roe versus Wade. Everybody running on a state, the governor, the senators from Ohio, I don't think it's going to be an issue for them no matter what happens, because I think the governor's going to say, well, that's not a state issue.
Yeah.
And I think that J.D. Vance is going to say, I'm with Trump, and we want to repeal it, and that's why we got those judges. And the people who showed up to vote for him last week are going to show up to vote for him.
Yeah, it may be true. But I hope people will vote, get out and vote. Everybody get out and vote so we know what the United States really believes.
I don't know if it's going to affect the governors too much, but I think it's going to affect the Senate and the House.
I don't know. Popularity ratings with the Democrats are not high right now.
Yeah. We're all just guessing. We have no idea of what's going to happen.
No, but have you noticed it's gotten a whole lot easier to guess when we come in on election night? It's not that hard to predict anymore.
I don't know. I really don't, because it depends on the... Not in the state of Ohio, but in other states, it's pretty hard. Take Georgia, for instance. Nobody thought those two senators were going to win. And both of them won, which turned the tide for the current administration. So.
No, you're right. There are anomalies. All I'm saying
I don't even
is
think that's
that
an anomaly. I think that's just hard work that we aren't doing.
You know, I don't, maybe. It could be.
We're not doing that in Ohio. When I was running for office, I felt like I was out on a rowboat by myself running for office. The Democratic Party didn't support me.
All I'm saying is, and heavens knows, I'm not trying to come down on Nan Whaley. She's been very good. She came on the morning after the election.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, I think that when we say that it's not going to matter, there's a reason she's the first female nominated by a major party ever in the history of Ohio. There's a reason we've never had a female governor. No good candidates? I don't believe that. So if people, I'm not saying she can't run, but what I'm saying is if the Democrats don't address that as an issue that they are going to have to overcome, I don't know that that's wise.
Well, I think I told you 2 or 3 weeks ago that I didn't think she was going to win because she's a woman.
Well, a lot can happen between now and election time.
That's true,
so
yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, what happens.
DeWine knows how to. DeWine's been around since the 70s, and Renacci has already come back home. So if Blystone comes back home, going to be a hard road for Nan Whaley.
Well, Blystone, he should be getting his ticket, to one-way ticket, and be moving here pretty soon.
Well, you know what? You heard Renacci this morning. You hear how they turn around.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, politics is run by lies and money. And neither one of them is very
and
accountable.
Coincidentally, let me say, I don't like that it's a female issue. I don't like that matters.
I don't either.
That is the silliest thing in the world. But I'm not in politics either. But I think the fact that the Democratic Party in Ohio does not address that. I think the fact that the National Democratic Party, who had Hillary Clinton, never really addressed it. I think that when you are in a state that's never had a female governor, never even had a candidate for governor, one of the two major parties, there's a reason for that.
What's the reason?
Good question. Nobody in all the years of Ohio, over 200 years of Ohio governors, there was never a woman, not even to win, what? Not even good enough to run.
Well, you got to take several.
Are you just saying men and
you got to take about
in Ohio that men hate women or they're not going to like them?
No, I'm just saying that if you talk to women who have the scars on their back, who had high positions, they will tell you that it did matter.
Well, my mother was alive before women were allowed to vote, so it's only been a short period of that time that you're talking about where women aren't even allowed to vote.
100 years.
Yeah.
102 years.
Yeah.
Okay, 102 years. We've never had a candidate, not even a candidate, until now. Took 102 years.
I would imagine it's because women felt they had no chance, but I don't know.
No, women ran. Mary Taylor tried to beat DeWine for the nomination. When Schertzer ran as lieutenant governor a few years ago, that was with what, Pillage?
Yeah.
They don't get very far.
Well, we did have a United States treasurer that lives right here in Marion.
She would tell you, and I think she would tell you. They're harder on the men.
Oh yeah,
harder on the men.
I think they are. Yeah.
But I just don't think there's been a lot of women run that has been maybe up to the job.
Well, let me ask you this: in 102 years of voting in Marion, why have we never had a female mayor?
Because we hate women.
I'm a curious, nosy person. Glenn, why? 102 years, no female mayor.
Yeah, but look at Texas, you know. That's a big Republican state, and how they had Ann Richards and...
I don't don't think this is Republican-Democrat. We've got a Democratic mayor.
I don't either.
We've had a Republican mayor for a long time.
No, I think there's... I think there are a lot of old white guys like me that don't think women are capable. And I think they're wrong, but I think that's the problem.
And a lot of women won't vote for a woman. You know how many women didn't like Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, but now see, now that's a confusion. Because should a woman vote for, I mean, I don't vote for a man just because they're a man. Why would a woman vote for a woman just because they're a woman? The question is, is people's reasoning just because they're a woman?
Well, it's kind of like, do you vote for a person because they're African-American or not? Now,
right, I won't vote for somebody just because they're something. I mean, look at Obama. You know, he didn't get elected because he's African-American. He got elected because he was smart.
Yeah.
He could speak.
Right, but I don't think Hillary Clinton was dumb.
No. And she did get elected, but with our arcane rules about the electoral voting, she didn't get put in office.
And Obama didn't get up there like these past black leaders, you know, like Jesse Jackson and all them, and get up there and do the preacher thing. You know, sometimes that is old, and if any hate comes out in your speech and you're loud like that, you know, people's not going to elect you.
Yeah.
Well, see, now, Blystone and Renacci certainly weren't quiet guys, and they were... I'm not even sure what Blystone was. He had no political experience. Got 22% of the vote, won 22 counties in Ohio, a quarter of them.
Only
Nobody
Republicans.
Looked at him and said, well, you're a Jesse Jackson. We can't vote for you.
They were only Republicans that voted for him. I don't think he would get more than a handful of Democrats that would vote for him.
All I'm saying is that at some point, somebody better, and it's gonna, it'll happen in the Republican Party, too. I mean, one day they're going to have a woman run for governor. One day they're going to have a woman run for president. And somebody's going to have to say, does that matter? Does that matter in Ohio? Does it matter in Georgia? Does it matter in Texas? And I'm just saying, you got to take this stuff into account when you act like it doesn't exist. And then the next day you lose every election in the state. There's not a Democratic state politician, not a Democratic treasurer, not a Democratic governor, not a Democratic attorney general, not a Democratic secretary of state. I think we've got one Democratic senator left at this point with Sherrod Brown. Now, how long are the Democrats going to deny there's a problem here?
Well, I hope they're not denying it, but I don't think we have very strong leadership in the Democratic Party in the state of Ohio right now. Now, I've met the leaders, and they're nice people, but I don't think they're very strong.
Well, let me tell you, I've talked to Nan Whaley, nice person.
Yeah.
I know our mayor well, nice person. You know, does the state know that? Is the state going to vote that way? I don't know.
Nice people finish last? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you got to have a strong state party.
Yeah, you do.
At one point, we did. We had a governor named Strickland who was Democrat. Yep. We had a governor named Celeste who was Democrat. We had a treasurer named Withrow who was a Democrat. We had those sort of... We had a House member... No, Senator named John Glenn who was a Democrat. Where did they... Metzenbaum. Where did these people go?
Well,
we need more
gerrymandering didn't help.
You know, to run.
But where are they?
Well, a lot of times people don't want to run for politics because...
It's ugly.
What you have to go through.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Blystone gets 22% of the vote. I say you run the Ted Williams. You run the Jerry Springers. You at least get some of the Dennis Kuciniches. The people on the bench in Ohio, you know what? They may not get elected, but they're not afraid to say what they need to say. I remember interviewing Dennis Kucinich when he was running for governor, and the one thing Kucinich said that I was always so surprised about, I don't care about the state Democratic Party. I speak for me. And, you know, are any of the other Democrats doing that?
I did.
There you go.
And I didn't get elected.
Yeah, but you're in a Republican. I can't say that the state's Republican. We have had Democratic governors.
Yeah, we have.
And you know what? DeWine is a weak governor because of COVID.
Yeah, but you got to stick with it, Glenn. You just ran once, didn't you?
No, I've run for two different offices, but I'm getting too...
We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. We've been talking a half an hour on this.
Is Dr. Feinstein coming up?
Dr. Feynman is coming up. So.
Okay.
Dr. Feinstein, get him on.
All right.
Talk to you guys later.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Glenn, good to talk with you. I'll be back on tomorrow morning.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Interesting talk. Okay, we're going to get out of here for 15.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016...